take a time machine back to before the world went to hell, around the year 2000.
The 80s and 90s were so rad. The movies, the music, the TV, the games, that's what I want to talk about.
Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and continue the conversation on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're cool enough, join the show on Patreon for exclusive bonus content. And now, Less Than 2000 with Adam Wintz and Chad Bischoff.
Less Than 2000,
now part of the
HyperX
Podcast Network.
So, brother, I want to test your childhood memories a little bit. Can you tell us the Konami code for memory? Do you still have the Konami code rattling around in your brain?
Yeah, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start.
Ding, ding, ding! But you know what else that was? It wasn't just a test of your childhood memories and how embedded it was in our consciousness as a collective generation. It was really to see if you had any friends growing up.
Because what, you?
Because if somebody were to ask me, what's the Konami code? I would say up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start. Because always go with that player two, brother. Because we're talking about Contra, one of the best, if not the best, two-player NES game of all time.
It is.
It has to be.
I want everybody listening to know I did have friends and friends beyond just you.
Oh.
However, not being around friends and having still played this game, I have to now do the single code. So it's kind of been embedded into me as an adult who still plays the game to skip the select and go straight to start. So we're both right or both wrong, depending on how you look at it.
It's just a test to see. That's how you can test with all your friends to see if they had friends growing up. If they say select, it's like embedded in them. When I play it now, because it's on PS4 and PS5, when I play it now, I always hit select, which is weird because it's like the options button or the little touchpad thingy. It's like, but it's ingrained in me, select start, because I never played this alone. I never owned it. I always went over to friends' houses to play it. I never owned a copy of this game because everybody else had it, and it was not fun to play alone. It's a two-player game, period, point blank.
So, well, jumping ahead a little bit, I had the Game Boy version.
Oh, so dude, Operation
I played
C.
that alone. Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome.
I played that alone a lot, and it was dope, other than it was black and white, but it was still sick as hell.
As far as Game Boy games go, as far as Game Boy conversions, dude, it was great. It was one of the best Game Boy games ever and so faithful to the original. It was a new game. It was like part three of the series. It's actually after Super C and for NES, the follow-up. So, yeah, dude, that game was awesome. But you know what's crazy about it? It's only, I think you only get 6 or 7 lives when you enter that code on the Game Boy version.
What? That was it?
Because it's pretty easy. Honestly, it's
I was going to say, to think I beat it. I beat it no problem number of times.
Yeah.
So, like, on the Konami code, I think what's amazing is that the guy who created this, who recently passed away, sadly, he literally went on record in 2003 talking about how he couldn't beat the game, and he was like a producer on it. Mm-hmm. He created the cheat code so he could beat the game.
Yeah.
Like, how genius is that? And then when they're like, well, why did you come up with it? He goes, I needed something I could remember. Like,
and it's one of those games. You see it on t-shirts. You see those codes on t-shirts. You say up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start or select start. To anyone our age range, they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
But what t-shirt is more prevalent? As you said, there's two options. It kind of dawned on me. Which shirt was more popular? Did more people have friends? Or did more people not have
I don't friends? Think it has the select button on the shirt. I think it just goes straight to start. So
straight to start. Probably because the guy who created the code was playing it alone and needed to figure out how to get through it.
And the
That's an epic story, though. To think of how that came about.
And it actually, he actually invented it for a game called Gradius, which was just a couple of years before this, and an awesome space shooting game. But it was so hard, and he was the game tester and designer. He needed a cheat code. So he came up with it for Gradius. And then it was kind of almost an Easter egg for Contra. But thank God, because, dude, there's no way you and I or any of my friends could have beat it without the code. Because I think there's only two continues on NES. Three lives, two continues. There's no way you're getting through those eight stages without it, unless you're a super gamer.
No, you just can't. I was watching some gameplay the other day, and they make it look so easy, but it's not that easy.
No, it's not.
Like, I'm watching these people, I'm like, they make it, they're like barely trying, and they're getting through every level, no problem. But that's not the reality. Like, we spent so much time trying to beat this game. Was this the first game you and I ever beat together?
I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is.
And you owned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
of course,
you had.
Of course, I did.
I assume
you were the Super Nintendo guy. I was the NES guy.
I mean, there's a story behind it. It was set in the year 2630 something. Did you know that? And it was like
I did only in doing research of the show. This wasn't only different names for the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was not only different locations. It was different centuries, bro. I mean, it went from, you know, the distant future of 2633 set in New Zealand to present day Amazon jungle, completely ripping off Predator.
Oh,
by
the way. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, it's just a complete Predator ripoff entirely.
Yes. This movie, this game was so great because it ripped off two of the best things ever, not just of the 80s, ever. Aliens, James Cameron's Aliens, 1986. And then Predator, 1988. And sandwiched in between the two was Contra, which ripped them both off. Like, they didn't even try. I mean, the cover of the game basically has Arnie from the Predator poster. And they ripped off two of the best things. You see the face huggers. You see the xenomorphs. You fight giant xenomorphs in this game. Isn't the final boss is basically a queen alien. And all through,
100%.
You're running through the jungle like the guys in Predator. It ripped off two of the best things unashamedly, unabashedly, and I love it for it. This game was
But who
so
was
great.
The guy who designed it? I'm trying to find the guy. Was it Alan Schaefer? Now, who's the guy who created this?
I would assume it was a Japanese fellow.
It wasn't. It wasn't. That's what's fascinating about this. I think it was some European guy who was hired to do the American NES cover. And he literally was like aliens and in space. And
you mean not the game, so like the theme and the...
No, the theme for the cover. What sold it, the marketing material completely dumbed it down. And it was a European fellow, I believe, who created that and basically was like, we literally went on record going, so when they pitched the game, in his head, he goes, so you mean Predator meets Aliens? This is a complete ripoff. So then he just delivered that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was a little bit of Rambo thrown in because the other guy is clearly Sylvester Stallone on the box, and he's got the headband, and he's got the dark hair, and Rambo, also like Rambo 3, I think, would have come out around that time. And this was everything a young boy wanted in a video game.
It was fast.
Yeah.
It was hard, but yet it was still left
Fair.
To right before the days of 3D.
Yeah.
And it gave you a chance with the extra lives.
Two players.
I mean, this is everything you wanted in a game.
Everything. And the music was great. Oh my God, the music was great. The music is iconic. And the music is just so well done and fits the mood so perfectly. that I can't imagine this game. I mean, this would still be a great game with crappy music, but it just with that extra layer, especially level one music and the boss themes, just take it to this whole new level of a memorable game you'll never forget. Everything about this game was spot on for what it needed to be for boys in the 80s.
100%.
It's a hard game. I think it's on some of the hardest games of all time list. I don't put it that hard. Look, this is nothing compared to Ninja Gaiden. This is nothing compared to Battletoads. No. There were much, much harder NES games out there. This game was tough and very tough, but it was fair. I felt like it wasn't cheap tough. Yeah, sometimes a guy would come up behind you and backstab you. We'd call them backstabbers. Or suddenly,
They did that the whole way through.
Right. You had to expect it. That's part of the game. That's not cheap.
Yeah. You weren't suddenly at level, you know, 7 when you're almost done, 6 or 7, and then all of a sudden a guy comes up behind you. When did that happen?
Right.
They're not throwing curveballs at you.
No.
They're setting you up to be a consistent gameplay.
And some of the factory level, when the claws are coming down on you and the spiked walls are popping out at you, you get some lag there because the NES had only so much processing power that it would slow down, and suddenly your jumps would get laggy and your bullets would slow down and everything on the screen would slow down. That's a programming limitation. That's not really cheap, but that's like where I would consider the difficulty not really fair, but this is like a fair, tough game. This isn't just impossible to beat. You can beat it if you get good, as the kids say. Get good. G-I-T-G-U-D. Get good.
Who's saying that?
Oh, people on internet forums.
Ellen, in 15 seconds, what is Nice Games Club?
It's our game dev podcast. Steven, help!
Game mechanics, accessibility, art and animation, level design, prototyping!
Everything that goes into making video games. How's that, Mark?
Nice. Listen to Nice Games Club wherever you get your podcasts, or at nicegames.club.
What's that? Majestically cresting the horizon as it makes its way into port. Why, it's the brand new HyperX Armada monitors, mounts, and arms. Both the HyperX Armada 25 and 27 gaming monitors come bundled with a sturdy HyperX Armada mount and arm. If you need every split second of advantage when gaming, the full HD Armada 25 and its 240Hz refresh rate are for you. If you like to soak in the graphical majesty of your gaming, you'll be eyeing the Quad HD Armada 27 with an 165Hz refresh rate. Set sail for HyperX.com or Amazon.com to start making your display armada.
Video Death Loop is a show where we watch a short clip on loop until one or both of us can't take it anymore. Each week, one of us picks out a video the other does not know about to their dismay. Video game cutscenes, TV show openings, music videos, and occasional horse videos are just some of the clips we've ran, and we're 5 seasons in. Check us out every Friday.
The name had escaped me, but Bob Wakeland did the art. He was a British guy, a British artist, very famous, who did the artwork and the promotional material and the new cover. He only used the alien background from the original to make that material that goes out. So think about this. You have different locations, different names, different branding, entirely different promotional material around the game, tailored to the various places around the world, and then put it on 7 different platforms. It's amazing that this game not only had success out of the gate because they figured out how to repurpose it to fit in so many different cultures, but then continued to make more games that expanded and made it better. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
Smart point.
It's been a couple episodes.
It's interesting when you start going down the, you know, the promotional marketing rabbit hole of just a dope game that you've loved for so long, to find out just how many people all over the world were behind something that you just loved as a kid growing up. You know, this game doesn't have the same impact if they don't, if Bob doesn't come on and do the artwork, for example, the promotion material. But then they were doing the European version and needing to make it different by calling it Geyser or whatever.
Well, and not just that. In Germany, they had laws that, because, you know, this was after World War II and we're still fresh out of the World War II, only, you know, 30, 40 years removed. They had a law that said humans couldn't kill humans in video games. So they not only retitled it, but they had to make all the characters robots. Which is funny because they are alien robots, but they look like humans.
Yeah, they are aliens. But they're not human in the game now.
I know, but they look like humanoids. And you know what's funny? I played this game before I knew about the Konami code, before I got far into it, before I got to the levels where the aliens start popping out and it's obvious that they're aliens. I thought they were people. I mean, I thought this was like Rambo or Commando, because they look like little guys and they pop out and they shoot guns and they... How about the guys that are hopping around in the base levels? There's the guys like they're doing jumping jacks, like ridiculous dance moves. Like, what are you doing, man? Shoot! Shoot your gun! Yeah. Don't dance around right in front of the thing that I'm shooting. But yeah, so in Germany, they not just retitled it and all that, but they literally replaced the characters with robots. Because in Germany, it's too violent.
See, how do you play that game? See, again, I would be so fascinated. It'd be so fascinating to play these other games. I'm so happy to hear you can play the Japanese version. Mm-hmm. But like, where's that version? And where's that export?
And the Japanese version has some cool differences, like the snow level, you know, the stone snow level about halfway through. That actually has snow in it. Like, it's snowing on you in the Japanese version. So,
well, that's because it's a distant future of 2633. I don't know how that's distant, but it's a distant future in New Zealand, and there's snow in New Zealand. But in the Amazon jungle, I'm imagining they removed the snow.
You know, I don't know how much like lore there is. I don't know how much of a backstory, how much canonical work goes into the story behind Contra. I did not go that far with my research, but they do have names. The two characters have names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill and Lance.
Bill and Lance. Bill Reiser and Lance Bean. And you know, Bean, that had to come from Sean Bean. It had to be. And Bill Reiser and you know, they're CIA operatives. Or whatever. I'd be interested to know, is there a whole bunch of like extended universe literature out there? Is there a comic book? Is there a TV series? Is there a novelization? Like, how far does this go? Or is it all canonically within the games themselves? Because in the US version, we just got two guys running around shirtless in a jungle and going up the waterfall and going through bases and stuff. But I would really am serious to know if there's like this whole lore behind it.
There actually is a Contra the comic book.
Nice.
It's an official comic book published in 2002.
Wow.
And it's supposedly official.
That's 15 years after it came out. That's awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, you know, after there were so many years of, again, if you're gonna have back to back to back great games that do really well, it's only a matter of time. I'm surprised there hasn't been a movie version of this, but I just realized we would just be making Predator versus Alien.
Yes.
Yeah, or with humans in it, like Predator versus Alien.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Gameplay-wise, some things I really loved about it. I love the ability to jump and shoot. I thought that was so cool that your guys do this cool flipping animation. But while you're doing that, you can they're flipping end over end in a little ball, but somehow can still fire their machine gun. That was cool. the physics of the game is great. The jumping mechanic, it felt like sticky, like you stuck. Unlike some games where you feel like I made that jump and that was cheap. Like Castlevania comes to mind, like how precise yes. you had to be in Castlevania, especially like the Game Boy version. You had to get to the very, very, very end pixel and then make the jump. And if you went too far, you fell into the pit. And yeah. if you jumped too early, you would make it. So I thought the jumping physics were fantastic. The ability to shoot diagonally, I think, was a fairly newish concept of being able to use the up and right, up and left, down and left, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There, as late as 2017, bro, live action Contra movie and TV series announced by Konami. They were making plans to actually do the live action version as late as 2017, and the video's been removed, and I'm assuming it obviously didn't go anywhere.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone in 1988 do this movie.
Wait, you want them to be 90 and kick an alien ass?
I want my time machine. Take a time machine back to before the world went to hell and create the ultimate. Forget about the replaceables or what is it? The replacements?
Expendables. Yeah.
Forget about that.
I like replaceables. I like replaceables because they basically are at this point.
1988, 89. I want to see Arnie and Stallone be these two characters. And yeah.
I mean, who would you cast today? To play these? Who has the muscles big enough?
Today would be The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel and The Rock. Yeah, that's what it would be.
What was your favorite weapon?
Oh, the spray machine gun. That's the only answer. I mean, like every time you saw the little floating, what looked like football.
Yes.
coming across the top and shooting that. It was like, that was the happiest moment of the moment.
When you saw an S.
As soon as you saw the S, you were like, you knew it was going to be a great, at least couple minutes before you died.
Before you died and
needed
lost
your
it.
Next life.
Yes.
and then lost it. And then you were back to, and every time you go back to the base gun, the one little pow.
Oh man.
The little white bullet.
That's rough.
There's nothing worse than that.
Oh, that was so rough. I the spread of course was the best. It was just overpowered and awesome. The machine gun was fun. I enjoyed the machine gun because it was a machine gun.
Agreed.
And you could just hold the button down. And so it gave you a break from the just mashing all the time.
The mashing the button constantly, like, yeah.
I liked the laser, but the laser was, it's hard for me to figure out because you can't mash on the laser. If you mash on the laser, it won't actually fire. You have to basically hold it out down. And speaking of terrible, the fire one was the worst. The fireball one that had like the spinning fireballs, just crap. Didn't have much power to it. But the laser had the most power of any weapon.
But what's funny is I hated the laser.
Why? Because
I think I hated the laser the most. Yeah, because you can't mash. I mean, come on. We've talked about this. I just need to hit buttons.
Yeah.
I need to just hit buttons today.
Yeah.
Explore? Get lost in my surroundings? No, I have a little bit of time and I want to kill as many things as possible.
Everybody just remember what it was like to be a young boy after school, young girl or boy after school, playing it before you had to do homework, at the babysitter's house, on a Saturday morning after watching cartoons and wrestling. Just that experience of sitting on the floor in your playroom. You know, there was the front room of your home where the game room was, the kids' room before it became the fancy room that no
talk
one could
room.
Go into. The talk room.
Yeah, no.
We need to have
yeah,
a talk
no.
chat.
It was, yeah, it went from the playroom, you could do whatever the hell you wanted to you knew you were in trouble if you got invited to that room.
Yes.
Like, what a horrible way to flip that. Take all your childhood dreams and now turn that room into the talk room.
And then it was in our unfinished basements. This was a thing for kids in the Midwest. You know, before you had a finished basement, your parents just like put a TV down in the basement, hook up a Nintendo, and you're like, have fun, kids, around all these cinder blocks and spider webs.
Yeah, we had like the slab of remnant carpet just kind of like casually tossed in one little corner of the basement. And that's where we would blow on the cartridges, stick it in,
13-inch
hit
screens.
The power button on that little tiny, 13 to 20-inch whatever screen.
Yep, with the brown TV, the brown frame, and the one speaker, the mono speaker, and the having cords, so you got to sit close or, close enough. No chairs, always on the floor, looking up. Ruining our eyesight and our necks by craning them at the screen. And just, the teamwork, the, hey, I've got a power up, so you get that one,
Yep.
How about this? Contra, you run out of lives, your friend can take them. Like, you can use one of my lives to get back in the game. Literally sharing your lives with people. Sharing
you
power
got
ups.
To work together.
Working
you
watch the back. You watch for backstabbers running on the screen. Okay, we're now at the boss. You focus on damaging the boss. I'll take care of the little guys running around.
Yes.
This is what it meant to be a kid in the 80s. Running around, pretending to be Schwarzenegger and Stallone, shirtless, muscle ripped, running around with doing flips and shooting. All sweaty in the jungle killing aliens. And this, I tried to play it this weekend and it just doesn't have the same feel alone, man. I wanted to play it with you. I want to play this game with someone. And as James Roloff, the angry video game nerd, says, think about maybe somebody who's not here anymore. Your parents or your grandma watching you play. Your friend who you don't keep in contact with anymore. And just for a minute, when you hone in on those memories, you can, revive that. They're alive in your memory. They're alive again. Your childhood is alive and in the present moment. That's what Contra is all about. That's what it meant to be a kid in the 80s.
I didn't know I was going to be sent off this episode almost in tears, because that's an amazing sentiment, man.
We have the Chad SmartPoint sound effect. Maybe we need to have an Adam heartfelt moment sound effect.
Yes, let's get on that.